Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, February 20th. There was a moment in last night's debate that harkened back to a famous exchange between Megyn Kelly of Fox and Donald Trump about the way he talked about women. That was way back in the first debate in the 2016 election cycle. But this one was between MSNBC's Hallie Jackson and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Several former employees have claimed that your company was a hostile workplace for women. When you were confronted about it, you admitted making sexually suggestive remarks, saying, quote, "That's the way I grew up." In a lawsuit in the 1990s, according to the Washington Post, one former female employee alleged that you said, quote, "I would do you in a second." Should Democrats expect better from their nominee?
Let me say a couple things, and if I can have my full minute and a quarter, thank you. I have no tolerance for the kind of behavior that the Me Too movement has exposed. And anybody that does anything wrong in our company, we investigate it. And if it's appropriate, they're gone that day.
Now, maybe it's a testament to the Democratic Party that he couldn't shrug off the question by insulting Rosie O'Donnell like Trump did 4 years ago. But let's zoom in on this exchange from last night after Hallie Jackson asked that question between Warren and Bloomberg concerning his treatment of women employees who have filed suits against his company, specifically on his company's use of non-disclosure agreements. Bloomberg responded first by describing a lot of hiring and a lot of promoting of women at his companies, and Warren followed up.
And I hope you heard what his defense was. I've been nice to some women. Has to stand on his record. And what we need to know is exactly what's lurking out there. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is that?
Let me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accuse me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like a joke I told. And let me put, there's agreements between two parties that wanted to keep it quiet. And that's up to them. They signed those agreements, and we'll live with it.
So wait, when you say it is up to, I just want to be clear. Some is how many? And when you say they signed them and they wanted them, if they wish now to speak out and tell their side of the story about what it is they allege, that's now okay with you? You're releasing them on television tonight?
Senator, no.
Is that right?
Senator, the company and somebody else, in this case, a man or a woman, or could be more than that, they decided when they made an agreement that they wanted to keep it quiet for everybody's interest.
So there was a lot there in that clip. We played an extended excerpt, almost 2 minutes, because there was so much there, shrugging off sexist jokes in the workplace as no big thing, drew a groan from the audience, as you heard. And beyond that, could the mayor have dissolved his non-disclosure agreements right on stage if he wanted to? And would that have been the right thing to do, according to the women who, he says, willingly entered into those agreements? With me now with a point of view on this is Julie Roginski, advocate, activist, co-founder of the group Lift Our Voices, a nonprofit that advocates specifically for an end to the practice of mandatory NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, confidentiality provisions, and forced arbitration clauses, all those things. Julie, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
And since you advocate to end the practice of NDAs, or what maybe is more accurately described as mandatory NDAs, can you explain what those are and why this is a cause you've taken up?
Sure. Well, specifically, we're talking about NDAs for toxic work issues, whether it's gender discrimination, sexual harassment, or just plain misogyny that takes place in the workforce. Certainly, if you know the secret formula to Coca-Cola, we're not suggesting you should be able to walk across the street to Pepsi and give it to them. But more and more over the last decades, these agreements have been used to silence workers, and a third of American workers, according to the Harvard Business Review, are bound by NDAs, to silence workers from discussing among themselves or publicly instances of toxicity in their organizations. And we just believe that's quite wrong. The reason we began this organization is that my two co-founders, Gretchen Carlson and Diana Falzone, and I had all worked at Fox News, had each sued Fox News, Gretchen Carlson and I for sexual harassment, Diana Falzone for gender discrimination, and we are bound by NDAs. We cannot discuss the circumstances of what took place with our cases. And so as a result, we came together and decided that we were going to launch this organization, not to help us. We have a big megaphone because of the high-profile nature of the lawsuits that we engaged in, but to help, as I said, the one-third of American workers who are bound by these agreements and who don't have a voice to be able to talk about their specific allegations and what happened to them in the workplace.
You tweeted last night after the debate, quote, "I've spoken to a few of those women over the last week. They don't want these NDAs. In fact, they want to speak publicly, but they are terrified of retaliation and going up against a billionaire," unquote. So what can you tell us about those conversations?
Well, it's interesting. I spoke to two women who'd worked for Bloomberg LP. Neither of them, I think, knows each other because one is on the East Coast, one is on the West Coast. And they would like to speak publicly about what took place and the reason that they're not at Bloomberg anymore. But as I've said on Twitter, they are deathly afraid to go up against somebody who's got unlimited amounts of money and who could sue them into oblivion for violating their NDAs and who can obviously retaliate against them in other ways, or they perceive could retaliate against them in other ways. The fastest way for Mayor Bloomberg to make them feel at ease about that is just to simply say that he releases all workers from any NDA provisions and their agreements, and therefore they can talk about whatever they want to talk about and the circumstances of their departure from Bloomberg.
He made it sound like these were voluntary agreements and that they were entered into by all the parties because they wanted their privacy. And certainly there would be some women who wouldn't want details of their sexual harassment lawsuits or whatever discussed publicly. So do you think he was lying or fudging or speaking about an incomplete category? How did you hear that response?
Well, I certainly would never accuse anybody of lying or fudging. But what I would say to Mayor Bloomberg, if I could say something to him directly, is that I don't think women need Mayor Bloomberg to speak for them. Quite honestly, a lot of women probably don't want to come forward, but they should have that option, not Mayor Bloomberg and not Bloomberg LP and not the Bloomberg campaign. And it's not just the Bloomberg campaign or Bloomberg LP. I want to just make clear this is an endemic problem across the board for all, for a third of American workers. So if women want to speak up publicly, and the two women who I spoke with this week do, those women should be able to speak. Mayor Bloomberg should not dictate to them whether they should be muzzled. And more importantly, Mayor Bloomberg should not speak for them and just assure all of us that they don't want to speak up. I'm here to tell Mayor Bloomberg that, yes, they do want to speak up. They're too afraid to say that publicly themselves. For all the reasons that I stated before, they're just afraid of retaliation.
One of the things that Senator Warren was pressing him on last night was how many NDAs there are out there, and he wouldn't answer that. Apparently, ABC News reviewed court records that show at least 17 women have taken legal action against Bloomberg's company over the past three decades, three of which remain active. It says several lawsuits accuse him of fostering a hostile environment for women to work in the 1990s. Three of those cases specifically named Bloomberg, and quotes attributed to him in the court filings, quotes including, "I'd like to do that piece of meat and I would do you in a second," unquote. A second lawsuit by another employee accused the firm of wrongful termination when she was dismissed while undergoing breast cancer treatment. And the third, brought by former sales executive Joanna Ayers, accused the company of age and gender discrimination. Bloomberg himself was named as a defendant in two of these cases, including the Ayers case. However, Bloomberg and the company have denied the allegations in those suits. Could Bloomberg have waved his hands last night, as Warren and Biden were both asking him to do, and just said, okay, NDA is dissolved?
Well, certainly Bloomberg could have done that and then directed his lawyers to resolve or to dissolve the NDAs. That's not a problem. I have been subjected to two NDAs in my life. One was with Fox, as I mentioned. The other was with Governor Murphy in New Jersey with his campaign. Governor Murphy, after facing a tremendous amount of pressure, released all women in his campaign from their NDAs. He waved his hand, and lo and behold, those NDAs were dissolved. And so, of course, Mayor Bloomberg
did. I didn't know that story. He just did that in the way you described, in the way they were asking the mayor to do it last night?
He obviously directed his attorneys to inform all the women on his campaign that they were finally released from their NDAs. And so that's exactly what the lawyers did. And so that's something that Mayor Bloomberg can do himself as well and direct his attorneys and Bloomberg LP to do that as well. But what's really important to note here is that Mayor Bloomberg has said that there were just a few of these agreements. The other chilling and silencing aspect of this are mandatory arbitration clauses. And if those exist at Bloomberg or at any other organization, I don't mean to pick just on Bloomberg because they exist across the board, across the country, we wouldn't know how many people have brought allegations of toxic workplace environment because those are so silenced that we don't publicly know who made complaints, how they made complaints, what it entails, and what the outcome of it was. Typically, arbitration agreements, you go into a secret chamber, it gets resolved, people sign an NDA, and you never hear about these cases again. Mayor Bloomberg, if you notice, can say what he wants to say, and he did say it from the stage yesterday, about how few of these existed, that he was only subjected to one or two for offhanded, off-color remarks. The women who signed these NDAs can't respond. They can't say Mayor Bloomberg is wrong. They can't say Mayor Bloomberg is incorrect, if he is, because they're bound by NDAs, and it puts all the power in Mayor Bloomberg's hands to say whatever he wants to say, and the survivors cannot respond, and that's wrong, and I'm sure Mayor Bloomberg would agree that that's an inequitable and unjust situation to put these women in.
Karen in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I would like to ask your guest, and well, Gretchen Carlson's not on your show, but hypothetically referring to her as well. This is not a Dominique Strauss-Kahn situation where you had a blue-collar housekeeper who clearly there was most unbelievable imbalance of power. For example, Gretchen Carlson is a very successful woman, and presumably if she signed an NDA, it was with thorough advice from counsel.
But with respect, the issue on the table is the women who sued Michael Bloomberg's company, who presumably are not, you know, famous network news anchors like Gretchen Carlson was.
I understand that, but in calling for the law to be changed, it's just somewhat confusing to me that these women who are in the best possible position to speak out and not accept the financial settlement chose not to do so.
I hear you. Let me get a response to you. Julie Oginski, what would you say to Karen in White Plains?
Well, Karen, I've heard that complaint a lot, and I will tell you that, yes, Gretchen Carlson and I did have access to wonderful lawyers. I think what you have to understand is that when Gretchen Carlson filed her lawsuit in 2016 and I filed mine about 10 months later in April of 2017 at Fox News, we did not realize what we realize today, which is that this was going to be an issue where we have heard from so many people all across the country. And had we known that and had we decided that the Me Too movement was going to take off largely because Gretchen Carlson was one of the first women, if not the first woman, to do something so high profile against such a high profile individual as Roger Ailes, that we would have fought tooth and nail to not sign that NDA. You're right. We could have gone to court. It would have taken years. Our careers would have been put on hold. Our lives would have been put in limbo. And it probably would have, you know, I filed in early 2017. Maybe I'd be getting a court date sometime this year by the time all was said and done. And that entire time, my career and my life would have been in limbo. It's not an excuse. It's just simply to say that people settle for all sorts of reasons. And let me be clear, we didn't settle to keep our mouths shut. We settled for loss of income. and loss of career, and so did a lot of other women. But let's not even talk about Gretchen Carlson or me. Let's talk about the average American man or woman. Some of these NDAs are signed as part of a hiring process where you're going to negotiate salary, you're going to negotiate benefits. You're probably not going to negotiate, or you don't have access to a lawyer to negotiate, that you're not going to sign a confidentiality provision. You don't anticipate taking a job where you ever might want to sue. Some of these are signed as a result of settlement where somebody says, here's some money to, you know, you've been fired, you sued, here's some money, keep quiet. But a lot of these are signed as a result of being laid off, and a piece of paper is placed before you, as I was told by a casino worker in Las Vegas happened to her. She was laid off. She was in shock. A piece of paper was placed before her, and she was told, if you want to get severance and you want a good job recommendation going forward, sign this piece of paper. And she did. And this story happens over and over and over and over again. And that's not right. In fact, the power imbalance is entirely wrong, because don't forget, a lot of these people who are sexual harassers or predators in organizations continue to work there. So you have a meat grinder of workers coming through who get an NDA placed before them to get a good job recommendation or a couple of dollars in severance. And the next victim comes along, and then the next one, and the next one, and nobody's able to warn anybody about it because they're signed, they're bound to these onerous and terrible contracts that many of them don't even have access to a lawyer or the time or the resources to find a lawyer to sign.
As a matter of debate analysis, a lot of the people in the media who were breaking down the debate and saying how the candidates did said Bloomberg seemed unprepared for this line of questioning. He seemed really uncomfortable. He seemed to be hesitant and uncertain in his answer to Senator Warren and also Joe Biden, who continued to push on the issue of letting the women out of the NDAs. And yet, I discovered this morning that this was not the first time that this came up for him recently. He was pressed on the specific issue of NDAs recently on The View, when he went on there in January, and there he described his own alleged bad behavior this way. This is just a 9-second clip.
Did I ever tell a body joke? Yeah, sure I did. And do I regret it? Yes, it's embarrassing. But, you know, that's
what kind of a joke?
I grew up.
So I guess given that they went around with him on The View just last month, were you surprised at what has been widely described as how unprepared for this he looked last night?
I was actually surprised. So if I take off my Lift Our Voices hat and put on my real day job hat, I'm a political consultant, and right, I do debate prep for a living. And I was quite surprised at the lack of preparation that the mayor came to in this debate. It may be that his team believes that he can just skate through debates and spend money on TV and paid media to get through it, and they may be right about that. But nevertheless, this was a question, as was stop and frisk, as were a few other issues that came up, where they should have anticipated that it was going to come. And in fact, right before the debate, his campaign NDAs also leaked, I believe, in The Nation. So they should have known that this was going to be a topic of discussion, and in fact, should have absolutely prepared him better than he was prepared for that question. I don't know what the right answer for Mayor Bloomberg would have been, because he doesn't want to release women from these NDAs, quite clearly. But I suggest that Mayor Bloomberg, and not just Mayor Bloomberg, Senator Klobuchar and Senator Warren were the other two candidates up on that stage who have so far refused to sign on to Lift Our Voices petition to ban NDAs for toxic work issues. All of those candidates need to understand that women are not going away, and it's not just women. Workers are not going away on this issue. They can't skate through this issue. It's something that is going to come up time and time and time again. And if they want to draw a contrast with the President of the United States, who's also refused to sign on to our petition, they need to understand that this is something women are looking at carefully. As I said, a third of American workers are bound by these mandatory NDAs. And if it's not you yourself, it could be your brother, your mother, your sister, your next-door neighbor. And if it's not you today, it could be you at your next job.
Did you just say that the two women candidates on the stage last night have refused to sign your group's petition to ban mandatory NDAs?
No, Elizabeth Warren has.
Has signed. I'm sorry.
Senator Klobuchar has not, and neither has Senator Sanders. So the three are Bloomberg, Sanders, and Klobuchar, who have not signed on. Everybody else on that debate stage has.
I see. And why do you think that they wouldn't?
I don't know. I mean, it's a workers' rights issue, and it's obviously predominantly affects women, but not entirely. It's something that I think everybody needs to get behind. It's a nonpartisan issue. This is not something that's controversial. All we're saying is that anybody who has had a toxic work experience should be able to talk about it freely, because what that entails is less litigation going forward. It's a deterrent from people behaving poorly. And if a boss or the head of an organization realizes that he can't get away with sexually harassing somebody, or worse, because some insurance company is going to pick up the tab for the settlement and there's going to be an NDA to prevent the worker from speaking out, they may think twice about engaging in the harassment in the first place. Again, this is something that is such a non-brainer that it's puzzling to me as to why everybody has not signed on to it, but I strongly hope on both sides of the aisle that the candidates who haven't done that yet agree to do it.
It's interesting that we're getting a lot of calls on both sides of this, including women who want to defend Mayor Bloomberg on one aspect or another of this. We'll take one more of those calls. Lisa in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC with Julie Roginski from Lift Our Voices. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I just want to say, I'm a woman. I consider myself a feminist. I obviously deeply respect the people who, you know, have come forward and, you know, stood up for themselves, and no one should be treated like that. You know, I can't the hundreds of times in my life that I've been treated that way. I was actually raped myself once. You know, can we keep our eye on the ball? I mean, if Mayor Bloomberg said some off-color things to some women a couple decades ago, look who's in the White House. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like somebody who I'm sorry. I'm just infuriated that this is what we're focusing on.
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly sorry to hear about what happened to you and there's not much more to say other than my heart goes out to you about that. I will say this to you. We don't know what Mayor Bloomberg has actually done or not done. And the reason we don't know is because these women can't speak up. Certainly, President Trump has said many things as well, and he's holding people in his campaign and the Trump Organization to NDAs as well. We don't actually know the scope of what may have gone on there as well. Sunlight is the best disinfectant, and I know it sounds cliche, but we deserve to have full transparency about all of our candidates and all of our the men and women who want to lead this country, and not just about that, but about any organizational structural problems that you may want to go work for at some point. This is not to say that one candidate is better than the other. It is not to draw a contrast between or equivocation between Mayor Bloomberg and President Trump or Mayor Bloomberg and Elizabeth Warren or however you want to phrase it. It is simply to say that we should have access to all the facts about somebody's background, whether it's, frankly, their health records or anything else, when they're running for office, and especially to be the leader of this nation. And if Mayor Bloomberg and President Trump and Senator Sanders and Senator Warren, and I can name every candidate out there, wants to be our president, it is my belief that that person should tell us about the breadth and scope of their experience leading other organizations or participating in the workforce and in their life before they pretend that they want to lead this country.
And we will leave it there with the views of Julie Roginski, advocate, activist, co-founder of the group Lift Our Voices, which is a nonprofit that advocates specifically for an end to the practice of mandatory NDAs, confidentiality provisions, and forced arbitration clauses. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to invite you in on the conversation, too. If you've got a question about a national news item, whether it's something you want to know about the election or the Trump administration or anything else you think might fall under the national politics umbrella, give us a call and leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and your question. We'll collect those and keep them in our pocket for when I'm speaking with someone who can give you a good answer. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255, 844-745-TALK. See you tomorrow.